A Krishna Sara. Without spotted antelopes. Deshanam. Among places. Abrahmanya. Where there is no devotion to the Brahmanas. Asuchi. Contaminated. Bhavet. Is. Krishna Sara. Possessing spotted antelopes. Api. Even. Asovira. Without saintly, cultured men. Kikata. A place of low class men. Such as the state of Gaya. Asamskrita. Where people do not practice cleanliness or purificatory ceremonies. Iranam. Where the land is barren. Translation and purport by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. Among places, those bereft of the spotted antelope, those devoid of devotion to the Brahmanas, those possessing spotted antelopes but bereft of respectable men, provinces like Kikata, and places where cleanliness and purificatory rites are neglected, where meat eaters are prominent, or where the earth is barren, they are all considered to be contaminated lands. Translation responsibly. Among places. Those bereft of the spotted antelope. Those devoid of devotion to the Brahmanas. Those possessing spotted antelopes. But bereft of respectable men. Provinces like Kikata. And places where cleanliness. And purificatory rites are neglected. Where meat eaters are prominent. Or where the earth is barren. Are all considered to be contaminated lands. Purport. The word Krishnasara refers to the spotted antelope whose hide is used by brahmacharis while residing in the ashram of the spiritual master. Brahmacharis never hunt in the forest, but rather accept skins from those animals already deceased. The skin of the black or spotted antelope is used as a garment by those receiving instruction by the execution of Vedic sacrifice. Therefore, since sacrifice cannot be properly performed in areas bereft of such creatures, these places are impure. Furthermore, although the inhabitants of a particular place may be expert in performing fruitive activities and ritualistic sacrifices, if they are inimical to the devotional service of the Lord, such a place is also polluted. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that previously the provinces of Bihar and Bengal were bereft of devotional service to the Lord and were considered impure. Then great Vaishnavas such as Jayadeva appeared in these territories, converting them into holy places. The word Asovira indicates those places where the Suviras, respectable saintly persons. The word Asovira indicates those places without Suviras, respectable saintly persons. Ordinarily, a person who obeys the state laws is considered a respectable citizen. In the same way, one who strictly obeys the laws of God is considered to be a cultured or decent man, Suvira. The place where such intelligent persons reside is called Solviram. Kikata refers to the modern state of Bihar, which traditionally has been known as a territory of uncivilized men. Even in such provinces, however, any place where saintly persons gather is considered to be holy. On the other hand, a province of generally respectable persons is immediately polluted by the presence of sinful men. As some skrita indicates lack of external cleanliness, as well as the absence of purificatory ceremonies for internal cleanliness. Srila Madhvacharya quotes from the Skanda Purana as follows. Religious persons should reside within an 8-mile radius of rivers, oceans, mountains, hermitages, forests, spiritual cities, or places where the Shalagram Shila is found. All other places should be considered kikata, or contaminated. But if, even in such contaminated places, black and spotted antelopes are found, one may reside there as long as sinful persons are not present. Even if sinful persons are present, if the civil power rests with respectable authorities, one may remain. Similarly, one may dwell wherever the deity of Vishnu is duly installed and worshipped. The Lord here elaborates upon the theme of piety and sin, which are based on purity and impurity. Thus, pure and contaminated places of residence are described here. Omigyan, timanandasya, ginanjana, shalakaya, chakshirin malitam yena tasmai, shri gurave namaha, shri chaitanya, manobishtam, stapitam yena bhutale, swayam rupa, kadamayam didati, swa, padantikam, vancha kalpatarubhyascha, kripa, sindhu, bhyevacha, petitanam bhavanebhyo, vaishnavebhyo, namo namaha, Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktivin Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. So Krishna is describing here the Vedic path. The Vedic path means there are many rules and regulations which are necessary for purification of consciousness. That is why we follow rules and regulations, because rules and regulations, they purify our consciousness. Vidhi and Nisheda. You'll see when you read Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, then, chapter 6, Rupa Goswami describes 64 items of bhakti. These are vidhi nisheda, which means rules and regulations. Vidhi, things you must accept. Nisheda, things you must avoid or reject. So, there are so many different things which we must avoid and we must accept. And all of these items are there for purification of consciousness. Just like Prabhupada said, if I told you all the rules and regulations, you would faint. If Prabhupada gave us everything which is there in this Shastra, then we would faint. And in Kali Yuga, we cannot perform all the rules and regulations. So therefore, Rupa Goswami, he takes the essential rules, the essential regulations, and he gives them to us, and by following them in Kali Yuga, because we cannot follow everything, because we do not have adhika, or qualification, then we follow what is given, and just by following those simple rules and regulations, which are given by Srila Rupa Goswami, which Prabhupada has given us, then we will become purified in consciousness. That is how you become purified. You must follow rules, you must follow regulations. If you do not follow, then you will not become properly purified. Just like one rule is not to fall asleep in class. If you do not follow that rule, how will you advance in Krishna consciousness? How much advancement can you make when you are asleep, when you're hearing the Bhagavatam? Very little. So one should not sleep in class. Actually, it's an offence to sleep in Bhagavatam class, although everyone does it. And it's not proper. If you're tired, go to bed. It's a simple program. So one must follow the rules and the regulations which are given, and they purify the consciousness. That is why we have. And sadhana, bhakti. And what does sadhana mean? We say vaidhi, sadhana, bhakti. Vaidhi means rules, regulations. Sadhana means practice. Right? Our bhakti is based upon practice of rules and regulations. We have to practice certain rules and certain regulations in order to advance in Krishna consciousness. That's why they are given. Right? You have to follow this, you have to follow that. Then you will advance. Sadhana means we practice. If you do not practice or you do not follow strictly the rules and regulations which are given, then you will not advance in Krishna consciousness. So you must be strict. Right? This is how you advance. This is a test of utsaha nishchaya dharyat. Rupa Goswami says, sadhana bhakti or devotional service must have utsaha, means you must be enthusiastic. If you're not enthusiastic, you won't make advancement. Right? If you're not feeling enthusiasm, then just act enthusiastically and it will come. Sometimes you don't feel enthusiastic, but you just do it. Right? Be enthusiastic and then automatically it will come. Nishchayad means determination or confidence. Dharyat, patience. You must be, sadhana means you must be strict in following the rules and regulations. If you are strict, then you will advance in Krishna consciousness. So there are so many rules and regulations which are there in the Vedic culture. So Krishna in this chapter, he's saying to Uddhava, these are all the different rules and regulations. Not all of them, but these are many of the rules and regulations which are important to follow. Right? So in Kali Yuga, we follow the essential ones, which we've said. Rupa Goswami gives the essential rules and regulations which must be followed. Now the first thing in this verse, which Krishna mentions to Uddhava, is that one must live where the spotted antelope is found. So how many spotted antelopes have you seen on the way to the temple this morning? Did you see any spotted antelopes? No? Did you see any antelopes? Did you see any? You didn't see. So this place is not considered auspicious. This place, which we call Australia, is not an auspicious land by nature. It is not where the Aryans live. The Aryans, or the civilized people, live across on the other side of the ocean, around India, and then they expanded somewhat. You'll see, if you go to Indonesia, if you go to Bali, which is just above Australia, it's interesting that you'll see, when you get off the plane, you'll see there is a huge, in the middle of the traffic island, there is a huge chariot of Krishna and Arjuna, just up there in Bali, not far from Australia. Right? Huge. You get off, my brother told me, and he got off the plane, and then you drive out of the airport, and the traffic island is there, and 20 foot high up there, big as the roof. Krishna and Arjuna. You know? Arjuna on the chariot and Krishna driving the Partha Sarathi. Like that. Why is this? How did it get so far? All the way from India. Because when the Pandavas were present, Yudhishthira was performing great sacrifices and he sent Nakul and Sahadev and Arjuna and Bhim. He said, you go in the four directions and you collect wealth to perform this yogya sacrifice. Go and take wealth, extract tax from all the subordinate kings. So they all went. So apparently Bhim Sain, he went out through eastern India, went out, and then went down through Cambodia, Vietnam, came down. I'm not sure how far he got, but obviously he got quite a way down, because if you go to Indonesia, right, there is Hindu, what we call Hindu, or Vedic civilization, and you get to Bali, which is a long way down, all the way down, then we see there is, in Indonesia, what do they call the airlines? Garuda Airlines. Right? So obviously if you go all the way through Indonesia, if you go all the way through Bali, then you see Garuda is everywhere. Hanuman is there. right? Krishna and Arjuna are there. So this Vedic civilization is extended. I like that. So they, by wherever the Pandavas went, they made the place auspicious. Because right? They converted the people there into Vaishnavas, into devotees. Actually, the biggest Vedic temple in the world is in Cambodia, which they only discovered about 70, 80 years ago in the jungle. And when they discovered it, when the French archaeologists first discovered it, they thought it was a Buddhist monastery, Buddhist shrine, Angkor Wat. But actually, when they started studying all of the bas relief on the walls of the temple, they realized they were depicting characters from the Ramayana and the Mahabharata. So they realized actually this is Vedic temple. They're very surprised. What is Vedic temple, Hindu temple doing over here in Cambodia? There's no Hinduism in Cambodia now. Because previously the Pandavas had traveled and they spread these things. So this place we're in now is devoid of these antelopes, so therefore it is not considered auspicious. It is Australia, which is not an auspicious land. It's on the other side of the ocean. It's not where the Aryans or the civilized race lived. Sometimes devotees say, it's speculation, but Australia, Astra, Laya, the place where the Astras were practiced. Some devotees speculate like that. We don't know if it's true. They say maybe the Pandavas came down here and practiced their weapons. Yeah, Astra. Astralaya, where the Astras, they got the Brahmastra, shot it.
Yeah.
And that's why the whole of Australia is desert. Like that. So we don't know if all this is true. It's just speculation. The devotees are thinking, we're trying to have some connection to the Vedic culture. We're trying to be proud of our land, our heritage. It's not a civilized place like that. So, previously, the spotted antelope, very auspicious, then the brahmacharis would take the deceased spotted antelope, those antelopes who had died naturally. No one would kill the animal. You don't kill the animals. That is forbidden. That is not Vedic. It is not Aryan. Civilized people do not kill the animals. This is for uncivilized people. They kill the animals. Like that. So, the animal would die naturally. They would take the skin of the dead animal. That skin, it has musk, one valuable fragrance within the skin. And you see that the sages, they would use the deer skin to sit upon in the forest when they're performing their meditation. They would sit on the deerskin and meditate, and because of the scent from the deerskin, it would keep away the snakes and the other things that you don't want disturbing you while you're meditating. You're meditating, you don't want the snakes to come and touch you, and maybe some insects are also repelled like that. So it's auspicious, and the brahmacharis would wear it. They'd wear the skin of the antelope like that. It means the principle was tapasya. It is considered pavitra, or pure, this particular antelope skin. So they would wear it. And the basic principle of brahmachari life is vidya. Vidya means to cultivate knowledge. That is the purpose of being a brahmachari or a brahmacharini. Right? It is to cultivate knowledge. And to perform austerity. Brahmacharis, brahmacharinis, they should be practice some tapasya, some austerity. They should not be attached to sense gratification. It is meant for simplicity, this lifestyle. Prabhupada actually says brahmachari life is best. It's better than sannyas. Because as a sannyasi, you have so much social pressure. Because everyone's watching you all the time. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes in Chaitanya Charitamrita, just like if you have a white piece of cloth, and there's one black dot on the white piece of cloth, everyone will see that and say, oh, there's a black mark. So similarly, if the Brahma, if the sannyasi has even some small fault or defect, everyone will say, oh, look. So there's a lot of pressure being a sannyasi. A lot of pressure. So Prabhupada said, brahmachari life is best. Brahmachari is best. Simplicity. Easy, not easy life, but simple life. Uncomplicated life. Completely dedicated to the service of Guru and Krishna. This is brahmachari, brahmacharini life. And practicing austerity, celibacy. This is austerity, this is tapasya. Not associating with the opposite sex for sense gratification. Briefly in service. The brahmachari, the brahmacharini, briefly they will associate in service. But not for sense gratification. Not associating whimsically. Very inappropriate. Inappropriate for any man and woman who is not married to associate whimsically. But most inappropriate when one is brahmachari, brahmacharini, to associate with the opposite sex whimsically. No, some contact may be there for service, then you have to be practical. But it must be limited. It must be not in the mood of enjoyment. This is actually brahmachari dharma, brahmacharini dharma. So you must follow some austerity as brahmachari, brahmacharini. You must cultivate knowledge. Your life is simple, so you study Prabhupada's books and become learned, because that will carry you for the rest of your life. I was a brahmachari for 8 years, most of the time in this ashram here in Melbourne, and I can say that my devotional service is still being carried because of my brahmachari life. Terrible. It is the training ground for the rest of your life. That's why we have brahmachari ashram. That's why we have brahmacharini ashram. Because what you will receive, if you take it seriously, if you take advantage of that opportunity, that will carry you in your devotional service. Because grihastha ashram is very testing. Right? Because then you interface with the material energy closely. You associate with the opposite sex. Right? You have material facility. There is some license for sense gratification. So you must control your senses. So all this is, all this grounding, all this Krishna consciousness, this training, it will come from your brahmachari, brahmacharini life. So it must be taken seriously. Cultivate knowledge. Perform austerity. Practice celibacy. Control the senses. Dedicate oneself to Guru and Krishna. This is brahmachari dharma. In this section of the Bhagavatam, Krishna speaks about how to be a brahmachari. He's already spoken a few chapters back. You must study that. You must understand what is brahmachari, what is brahmacharini. You must follow it. Right? And then you will become fixed up in your Krishna consciousness. Right? So, this is important. This is Vedic culture. If you are not living in the brahmachari, brahmacharini ashram, then you should move in today. Any objection? Anyway, what's that?
Very strong advice.
Very strong advice. But who will follow it? Any objection? Anyone would like to debate the topic? Like that. Okay, if you cannot do it, or if you will not do it, whatever the reason is, then but it means that at this point in time you're not living with the opposite sex. So you must take advantage. You must use that like brahmachari ashram training. Okay, maybe you're not in the ashram, but you should use the training. You should use the time to become fixed up in Krishna consciousness. It is necessary. Because when you enter into grihastha life properly, then it is very demanding. A lot of distractions. Especially when you have children. Very distracting. Like that. It takes a lot of time, a lot of energy. Right. So therefore you must become fixed up now. Right. This is the principle. So it says here that do not live anywhere there are not spotted antelopes. And then Krishna says a place which is devoid of devotion to the Brahmanas. Right? So this is one of the principal principal instructions or principal teachings within the Vedic civilization or the Vedic culture is respect to Brahmanas, respect to those who are spiritually wise. Just like today, we have a very today is very fortunate for us because His Holiness Subhag Swami is going to arrive in Melbourne, Mahaprabhu Mandir, to give us his association. Advanced sannyasi. Subhag Swami actually told me many years ago when I was in Perth, he was there, and he said to me that when a sannyasi or a fixed up brahmachari, means senior brahmachari, when they speak, the words are like fire, which means they will burn up the anathas, the material contamination within the consciousness, within the heart. So he said, you take very seriously. You do not disregard the instruction of the sannyasi or the very fixed up brahmachari. Any advanced devotee, but it means when someone is on that level, it means they are brahmanas. They must be respected. And this is how we advance in Krishna consciousness. We advance by taking shelter of those who are very fixed up in Krishna consciousness. Basically, that's our principle. Basically, that is where our advancement comes from. Basically. Mahaprabhu's five principal items, how we advance. One of them is the association of the advanced Vaishnavas. Right? It is by their association that we advance. This is how we become advanced in Krishna consciousness. By who you associate with. So you must find, take the opportunity to find the advanced Vaishnavas, the Brahmanas, the fixed up devotees, and you must associate with them. You must associate with the Guru as much as possible. Prabhupada explains in the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are different types of gurus. Shiksha Guru, Diksha Guru, right? Vatma, Pradakshika Guru, there are different types of gurus, Chaitra Guru, which are there. So we must take the association of the Guru as much as possible. Right? Now, Srila Prabhupada explains that there will be many Shiksha Gurus. Shiksha Guru means there will be multiple Shiksha Gurus. You won't have one Shiksha Guru, you have many. And then Prabhupada explains that of the Shiksha Gurus, then one of them will become very prominent. And that person you take Diksha from. Right? Of the Shiksha Guru is the person that gives you the most instruction, the most inspiration, then he becomes Diksha Guru. Right? That is the principle. So there is Diksha Guru and then there is Shiksha Gurus. Right? So, our advancement is based upon the association we get with these personalities, right? And it is pointed out that the most important way to serve the Guru is to hear the Bhagavatam from the Guru. That is the principal service, right? Of all the services we render to the spiritual master, the principal service is hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam from the Guru. Now, we're very fortunate because in Kali Yuga, one of the good things in Kali Yuga is that we have technology, and our technology allows us to be able to associate with the Vani, because Prabhupada stresses that the Vani is more important than the Vapu. Right? You can physically associate with the Guru in a limited way because he's travelling around the world, just like His Holiness Devamrita Swami and so many Gurus. I'm just as an example. His Holiness Devamrita Swami. So if you want to associate with him every day, that means you're going to have to spend a lot of money on air tickets. And you have to get his blessings. You know, he's probably going to say to you after about three countries, he's probably going to say, what are you doing here? You know, go back and do some service, you know, like that. We have to associate with the Guru as much as possible in the Vapu, in the personal association. But Prabhupada teaches us that more important is the Vani. Right? And we have to become attached to the Vani, or hearing from the Guru. Now, you can hear from the guru hours every day. You can associate with the guru for hours every day. I know for myself, when I was a brahmachari, when I was living here in the ashram for about 8 years, every day, between 2 hours and 4 hours, every day for about 8 years, I would spend that time listening to lectures. Because I had the time.
Right.
And by that association, right, that is what helps you to advance in Krishna consciousness. Right? For hours and hours, thousands of hours I've spent with my spiritual master, right, through Vani, through listening to the lectures. Like that. And that is the association which keeps you practicing Krishna consciousness. Just like I was listening to my spiritual master this week, I was listening to some lectures, and he arrived, it was just before he left this world, about 2001 or so, it was near the end of his pastimes here, and he came to one of the temples, I think it was in Bhaktivedanta Manor or somewhere, and he said when he arrived and he spoke, he said, "Thank you all for coming." He said, "In Kali Yuga, just to come to the temple is not easy. Just to come to the temple in Kali Yuga is not easy. Kali Yuga is so, there's so much energy at this point in time pulling us away from Krishna. For a devotee just to be able to come to the temple, right, is a wonderful thing. What to speak of regularly associating with the spiritual master. So the point is that we must take advantage of the vani. We must take advantage of the association which we can get by hearing transcendental sound vibration. Right? And this is what will help us to advance in Krishna consciousness. Right? Is by associating with the advanced devotees. By hearing their instructions, then we will advance. That's why Prabhupada emphasized that we must read his books. Because Srila Prabhupada taught us, Prabhupada said, "My Bhaktivedanta purports are my personal ecstasies." He said, "They're my personal ecstasies." Prabhupada said, "The best of me is in my books." Prabhupada said, "If you want to know me, read my books." Prabhupada said, "My books are better than me." He said all these things. Right? His main service when he came as an empowered preacher from the spiritual world on behalf of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was to give us these books, to give us the Srimad Bhagavatam and his other books. Right? So it is our duty to study his books. And that is non-different from associating with Prabhupada. Right? Then you will become Krishna conscious. How can you not become Krishna conscious if you're associating with Prabhupada every day through his books? Therefore Prabhupada said, "You must read my books." Right? But it's embarrassing how little we read Prabhupada's books. If I actually ask you how much do you read Prabhupada's books, it's embarrassing how much we read Prabhupada's books. So we must read Prabhupada's books regularly. Right? So, a civilized place is a place where there is antelopes, a place where there is devotion to brahmanas. And then it says, where cleanliness and purificatory rites are neglected. This is considered an impure place. Antelope, they're like a deer, and then they have one horn that goes kind of straight. Like that. They have them in India. In the national parks, they have them. In Vrindavan, I've seen them. Antelope. In Mayapur, they used to have them. Antelope. It's like a deer. Similar to a deer, but it has like a straight horn. Which comes out like that. So, you're wondering, just in case you see one when you're walking home. Like that. Important to know. Like they're becoming more rare now, like that. But they previously they were more prolific, like that. So now it says places where cleanliness and purificatory rites are neglected; these places are considered impure. So Prabhupada said that ISKCON is meant to create a revolution in cleanliness in the world. People are not clean anymore. People don't even know what it means to be clean. But this place, Australia, it is not auspicious. People are not clean. They don't understand cleanliness. Just like the other day, I was at Gopal's, and I went into the kitchen. I needed some water, so I said to the devotee, "I said, can you get me some water in the cup?" So then he was Indian devotee, one of the young Indian boys, I think Bhakti Bhavan boy. So then he took the cup and he turned on the tap, and then he got the water and then he poured it over the mouth of the tap, washed the mouth of the tap, and then got the cup and then gave me the water. Instead of, he could have just, you know, got the water like this. This is cleanliness. This is Vedic culture. You see this in India. People still, this is there to some degree. Right? The people understand what is cleanliness. Right? It is necessary. It is actually Brahminical life. A Brahmana is called Suchi. Suchi means pure, clean. Prabhupada said a Brahmana is clean. He is pure. That is Brahminical life. One must be clean, one must be pure. So it describes here that places that are not clean, right, then they are considered uncivilized. Prabhupada said we will create a revolution in cleanliness in our ISKCON movement. We have to teach the world what is cleanliness. People don't know, especially in this place, in Australia, people don't even understand what it means to be clean, generally. Actual cleanliness, they don't understand. Okay. So, it says where there is cleanliness, because Prabhupada said, when you worship the deity, which is Brahminical culture, worshipping the Archa Vigraha, the deity, he said two things are most important. What are the two principles which are most important? Yeah, cleanliness and punctuality. Right? Deity worship has to be on time. Right? And cleanliness. Right? Things have to be clean when you're worshipping the deity. Right? These are the principles. This is Brahminical culture. Right? So Prabhupada, he was teaching these things within ISKCON. Right? He was expecting these standards within ISKCON. So, it says, places where there is not cleanliness and purificatory rites. So in the purport, Hridayananda Maharshi mentions, purificatory rites means internal cleanliness. Or Buddha Shuddhi. When you begin deity worship, when you go onto the altar, before you begin to worship the deity, right, then you must do Buddha Shuddhi. Buddha Shuddhi means you must purify the subtle body. Before you begin the worship externally, there must be internal purification. You must identify yourself as Gopi Bhatu Padakamalayo Das Das Anudas. Right? You must identify yourself as the eternal servant of Krishna. Right? In your spiritual form. Right? As a spirit soul, as Jivatma. You must enter the worship of Krishna in a purified state of consciousness. Otherwise, if you do not understand who you are and what you are and begin to worship Krishna in a purified state of consciousness on the spiritual platform, so many mundane impressions will be in your consciousness while you're doing the worship to the deity. Just like you'll be worshipping the deity. What's one problem that a lot of devotees have? Right? Young men, young women, right? They want to get married. And there's a big problem for them. Sometimes Krishna tests us and he doesn't allow us to get married straight away. Right? There's a reason why Krishna does these things to us. Maybe he's doing something to us. Maybe he wants to purify us. Maybe he wants us to be more dependent upon him. My spiritual master was on a morning walk here in Melbourne many years ago. And he was walking, and one of the Brahmacharinis was asking him about this, saying about marriage, and you know it's difficult sometimes when you want to get married, but Krishna is not sending anyone, or someone is not there. And then he said, then in your consciousness, you become more devoted to Krishna. And then he said that if no suitable material husband comes along, then Krishna will marry you. Actually, it's a fact. Mm-hmm. We're already married to Krishna. But because we're in Maya, we've forgotten Krishna. And now we think we're married to someone else. I think, oh, I'm married to this person. I'm married. No, you're not married to this person. This is just a temporary situation which goes by in eternity. It just goes by in a fragment of a moment. We've been married to so many people. So many lifetimes. We've had unlimited. Manager, can you stop moving these bags? Because it's really... Yeah, stop moving. We've been married to so many people in so many lifetimes. Right? So many times we've been wives. Yeah, I've been a wife so many times. I used to enjoy that. I used to really get into that, you know, cooking and cleaning. And I used to love that. Love that. This time I came back as a man. It's okay. So many times we've been married. So many lifetimes. And each lifetime you thought this was the one. This was the one. I cannot live without this one. Thousands of times you've been married. Thousands. Thousands and thousands you've been married. And every time you thought this was the one. Right? And if you're a Mataji, right, just think, you used to be a man. Many times. Many times you've been a husband. Many times you've been a husband. And all the Prabhus, many times you've been wives. Many times. Right? And that was everything for our whole lives. And now it's just all a dream. It's all gone. Doesn't mean anything. If someone shows you a picture of who you're married to in your last lifetime, you look at the picture and you say, I've got no attachment whatsoever. Just a picture. This lifetime, it's everything. Like that. So the point we're making is that before you begin worshipping the deity, there must be purification of consciousness. Lord Chaitanya says, I'm not a Brahmana, I'm not a Kshatriya, I'm not a Vaishya, I'm not a Sudra. You chant these mantras before you begin to worship the deity. I'm not a Brahmachari, I'm not a Grihastha, I'm not a Vanaprastha, I'm not a Sannyasi. Gopi Bhatu, Pada Kamalaya, Das, Das, Anu Das. I am the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, who is the master of the gopis. Right? This is purification of consciousness. Right? So sometimes Krishna tests us. Sometimes we don't get married straight away. Maybe Krishna wants you to go through some purification. Maybe he wants you to become more dependent upon him. You think when you get married it's going to solve all your problems? You think it's just going to be bliss for the rest of eternity? Of course my marriage is, but... like that. But you think all marriages are like this? You think there's the answer to life? No? Married, not married, you have the same problems every day when you get up. Same problems. You're not attached to Krishna. That's the problem. That is the problem. Right? Same duty every day. When you're Brahmachari, you get up and chant Hare Krishna. When you're Grihastha, you get up and chant Hare Krishna. When you're Vanaprastha or Sannyasi, you get up and chant Hare Krishna. This is the Yuga Dham. This is the process. This is how you get purified. Of course, we need to be properly situated. I'm not trying to de-emphasize these situations. Not that we should not, but I'm just saying that sometimes these tests come in life. Right? But we should take these tests as an opportunity to surrender more to Krishna. Because that is why Krishna is doing these things. He's testing us. He wants us, in one of the lifetimes, so many lifetimes we've wasted, in one of these lifetimes, become fully surrendered to me. So, wherever people are not clean, and wherever they don't follow internal purity, purificatory rites, or buddhashuddhi, they're considered uncivilized places. And where the earth is barren and contaminated lands. So basically, if you read this purport, then Australia is not a very auspicious place. Right? We don't have antelopes, we don't have Brahminical culture, we don't have clean people, and the land is barren. Most of it is desert. So what are we doing here? What are we doing here? Yeah, because it says in the purport, Madhvacharya says, quoting from the Skanda Purana, he says, wherever the Shalagram Shila is worshipped, or wherever the deity is installed, right, and we're very fortunate here because we're at Shalagram, we have the deities. These deities were personally installed by Srila Prabhupada himself. Understand, you know, who's standing here. Prabhupada himself personally installed Radha Vallabha just down there in St. Kilda. Right, a few kilometres from here, he personally installed them just down there, and then they were moved here. Gaunatai were personally installed right here on that exact altar. Prabhupada sat right there Prabhupada lived right up there in that house, right? Jagannath Balaram Subhadra appeared before Prabhupada in Melbourne on the Rath Yatra, on the Rath cart. And Prabhupada danced all the way through Melbourne in front of the Rath Yatra. Right? You understand, this is not ordinary where we're living. Right? This place is a tirtha. Right? I come here every week, you know, from the farm just to get purified by this place. Right? Just to walk in here and see Prabhupada and see the deities and see the devotees. It is a tirtha, it is a holy place. Right? So we're very fortunate, right, that Prabhupada has created these holy places all over the world, so that we can take advantage of getting the association and getting purified. It says that one should live within 8 miles of these holy places. Why 8 miles? So you can walk to them. Because in the old days they used to walk to the temple. So you live within 8 miles, it's walkable. You can do that within a day. You can get over and go back home like that. So we should always live close to where the deity is residing, where the Shalagram Shila is residing, where Giriraj is residing. And then this place becomes an auspicious holy place like that. So we don't have to worry. You don't have to worry. If you go back to Bhakti Bhavan after class and you don't see any antelopes, don't worry. Because according to the Shastra, according to this Shastra, we are living in a holy place. This place is not auspicious materially, but now it has become auspicious because the deity is residing here. Not that so. So we'll stop here and we'll see if there's any questions or comments on what we discussed.
You said that Brahmacharya is the best way to live. But
yeah.
In this Kali Yuga, that way of submission is to Grastha, with Krishna is at the center. So why Brahmacharya? Kali Yuga, Grastha is the best, with Krishna at the center for salvation.
Grihastha Prabhupada.
Godhead,
sounds like you're attached to Grihastha Ashram. Prabhupada says that Grihastha life is the safe way, and he says renounced life is the sure way. Right. So it is most common in Kali Yuga the people will follow Grihastha Ashram. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says Grihastha Ashram is a good ashram in Kali Yuga for Vaishnavas because it's safe. Right?
It's the easiest.
Yeah, easiest, like that. That's right.
It's difficult to follow in this Kali Yuga.
Yeah, it's true. It's difficult. The renounced ashrams are difficult in Kali Yuga to follow. But if one is genuinely following them, if one is a Paka Brahmachari or a qualified sannyasi or vanprastha, then Prabhupada said it is sure way back to Godhead. But Grihastha is safe way. Most of us Grihastha saw. Is it okay? Yeah. Are you satisfied with the answer? Okay. Any other question or comment?
Well, the purity of this place, I think I can tell them, because I got a direction from my son who was here, and I got it in India. India is what, actually India is the most contaminated, you know, in all the popular places, Western principles. There is no Vedic principle being followed in India. The moment Western places allow it to be followed. So I think things are getting through the Western to the Vedic, is also getting through the Western to the basics. So, that this place is most auspicious for me, because I got the direction from here and not from India where I live.
So you don't have to go back to India.
Because I have to follow my dharma, what I am doing, I have to do it. This is what Krishna is also saying, you follow, you be, don't be like, I mean, as Arjuna was told to be in the Kshatriya, so he has to hide. So I am in business, and I have to do business there, and I have to go back and do business there.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no problem, because now ISKCON is so powerful in India now. There's so much, ISKCON has grown so much in India that you can get the association in Delhi or Kolkata or Mumbai. Right? There's so much opportunity. Right? Anyway, you choose your place. Everyone choose either Melbourne or Delhi.
But I got the direction from here. I'm going to the temple there in Delhi and meeting the devotees. But the direction was from here.
Yeah. You had to come all the way over here.
There was no direction for
60
years.
Hmm.
To me,
it's Prabhupada's trick. He gives you all, you know, you all get your air tickets and your green cards and all the rest, and you go to America and you go to Australia and you go all over the world, and then Krishna captures you. Prabhupada's mercy, so.
On the same point, what we are saying, Prabhupada has made this place so religious and potent that everybody is appreciated. So there is a point in making Prabhupada really made wonders.
Mm. He's made the holy Dharma all over the world. Any other question? Comment?
Probably, you know that our relationship with Krishna is done, and all the relations are stuck and great. And then you see the conversion mindset that we all are married to Krishna. So, in that way, how do we understand and bring this?
What was the question?
I mean, bring this to a light on that, to understand that we all are married to Krishna.
Yeah, because he is the Adi Purush. Right? Purush means, Bhagavad Gita speaks of five subject matters, right? Purush, Prakriti, Kala, Karma, and Shiva. Like that, okay. So, Ishwara, right? Ishwara, Jiva, Kala, Karma, and Prakriti, right? So, the Jiva is Prakriti, right? Krishna is Purush, right? This is spoken of chapter 13, chapter 15 of Bhagavad Gita, right? Then Krishna is Adi Purush. Krishna is Maha Purush. All of us are Prakriti. Right? Prakriti means we are to be enjoyed. We're meant to be enjoyed by Krishna. Krishna is the only enjoyer. At the moment, we have Purusha Bhav. That's what keeps us in the material world. Purusha Bhav means I think I am the enjoyer. I'm the controller, I am the enjoyer. And as soon as you threaten my control or my enjoyment, then you become my enemy. Ishwaraham, aham bhogi, siddoham, balavan, suki. Right? This is demoniac mentality. So Krishna consciousness means we understand Krishna is the Mahapurush, he is the Adi Purush. He is the enjoyer, and we are to be enjoyed by Krishna. That is Krishna consciousness. That means then you're married to Krishna. He's your only husband. Just like in the commentary, if you read the Krishna book or the 10th canto of the Bhagavad Gita, then Krishna dances with the gopis,
yeah.
Right? Now the gopis are married to other people. So then, from a moral point of view, people criticize Krishna. Why is he dancing with someone who is not his wife? So the acharyas give many arguments, many reasons, why there's nothing improper about what Krishna does. First of all, right, one of the arguments they give is that he is the Adi Purush. He is the original Purusha. He is God. Everyone is married to him already. So if he wants to dance with someone, then who can criticize him? The person who should be criticized is the person who's supposed to be married to that person. You know, Radharani's so-called husband, Abhimanyu, right? He should be criticized. Why is he trying to enjoy Radharani? Now, Radharani belongs to Krishna, like that. So Krishna cannot be criticized, like that. So all of us are married to Krishna, but we just forgot our vows. We forgot that we were married to Krishna. That's our problem at this point in time. This is called, what do they call it when someone loses their memory?
Amnesia.
Amnesia means I forget who I am. At the moment we don't remember who we are. We're walking around, oh, who am I? Like that. We can't remember who we are. Who are we? Right? We're Krishna's eternal servants. Right? When you remember that, then you remember reality. Just like Prabhupada came one time, he arrived at the airport and the reporter said, why have you come to our country? Prabhupada said, I've come to teach you that which you have forgotten. Because at the moment we don't remember we're Krishna's servants. So when you wake up, then you realize you're married to Krishna. Is okay?
That's the best way to know that all are married to Krishna.
Yeah.
Ras is a thing, you know, which people don't understand. Ras is a thing which everybody is married to Krishna. That's the pure. I mean, Shivji also came to join that Ras, the Maharaj.
He wanted to.
He did come.
He's Kshetrapal. He could not enter. Shiva could not enter. He's the Kshetrapal. No, he is the guardian of the Rasa Mandal. So then he took the form of a gopi, and he stands on the edge of the Rasa Mandala, and he stops the unqualified people entering. But he could not dance with the gopis.
That is the best thing to know, that everybody is married to Krishna.
Any other question or comment? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Yeah.